time for the Ian Furness Show.
You want me to turn it up?
Send your text to 49451 on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, here we go. Wednesday edition of the program. Ian Furness with you. Kevin Shockey sits in the Redbox producer's booth. Is that correct?
It's true, Ian. Redbox has the newest movies. And did you know that they're fresh from the theater? And did you know that they're under $2 a night? Because if you didn't, now you do.
Now
so head to the box.
Stream on demand. Headlines.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Brought to you by Venue Kings, venuekings.com. Mariners back in action tonight. They'll take on Detroit, scheduled 4 o'clock, 4:10 first pitch. Weather dependent. Detroit just owns them this year. It's just unreal. Detroit, 25 wins this season. 4 of the 25 against Seattle. It's incredible, man. It's weird. Chris Flexen, who could be really good or could be really bad, will hit the mound tonight. And I say that because that's how he pitches, either really good or really bad. There's really no in-between. He's going to go 1 1/3, or he's going to go into the 6th or 7th inning and give you a chance to win. He'll get the start for the Mariners.
It's more fun that way.
It is more fun that way. At least Scott Service can plan going in. If I can get through the first couple innings, he's going to be good. If not, bad Chris Flexen means bullpen day starts right now. We got NBA action last night. A couple terrific basketball games. The Philadelphia 76ers tied up their series with Atlanta, one game apiece, with a 118-102 win. Jazz over the Clippers, 112-109. Utah leads that best of seven, one game to none. Just one game tonight. Western Conference semifinal, Denver and Phoenix. Phoenix leading that series, one game to none. The Joker is the MVP of the NBA, as well he should be, contrary to what Kevin thinks. NHL from last night. We'll get to those games coming up in our daily power play at 1:45. Let's start the show. Here we go. We were talking earlier. We're going to get into some college athletics here real quick in a second. But Kevin and I were talking earlier. What an incredible night last night. What an incredible night of sports just with the three playoff games. And actually the four, I didn't even count the early NHL game. Tampa Bay knocking off Carolina, they're done.
Man, Tampa is on a hell of a run.
Are you noticing a theme here in the NHL playoffs? And I'll give you a hint. Vasilevsky and Carey Price. Are you noticing a theme here?
Ian, it's always important to make sure you have the best right shot defenseman in... Oh, you're talking about the goalies. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. That would be the key. We'll talk. Ryan S. Clark's going to join us from The Athletic at 2 o'clock today. Carolina's out. Does that mean the coach for Seattle's Kraken team could be available now with Carolina being out? We'll talk about that with Ryan S. Clark coming up at 2:05 today. We'll check in with Ryan S. Clark about that. But last night was crazy. That the Vegas-Colorado game, and the two late games, and then Utah and the Clips. First of all, give me Utah Clips 7. Just give me 7, right? I don't like anything about the Clippers. Both LA teams are, to me personally, immensely unlikable in the NBA. Both the Lakers, thankfully they're gone, and the Clippers for a ton of reasons, really unlikable. I want Utah to win. I know that's sacrilege to say that here in Seattle. Because the Jazz, especially with the mailman sitting there in attendance last night, was such a great rival for Seattle. Far better rival than the Blazers ever were.
Yeah.
Far better.
It's just a weird, yeah.
Well, they had playoff matchups over and over again, including, I think, the second-to-last playoff series the Sonics ever played was against Salt Lake, against the Jazz. So I remember an angry Mike Gastineau coming down one day because he didn't like his press box seat down at the old Delta Center. And a hyped-up David Locke as they were doing Sonics pre and post on KJR. But that was a great rivalry. I want the Jazz to win. But if you can just guarantee me 7 games right now, I'll take that. Because those two teams going 7 will be a lot of fun. Will be a ton of fun. And the Avs last night and the Vegas Golden Knights was great. And they both the NBA and the NHL games were great. For what reason, Kevin? We had fans in the stands, and the atmosphere was just insane. It was awesome. And, man, the bubble, I don't miss any bubble at all. I just don't miss them.
I will admit that last night, I feel a little bit bad. I didn't watch any of the hockey. I was too locked in on the basketball, obviously,
don't blame
for
you.
Obvious reasons on the first game.
Sure.
But that second game was so fantastic. That crowd was out of control. And I'm telling you, look, it's a conversation right now in Major League Baseball about the local announcers that are not being allowed to travel and kind of the way that they're not able to even see everything they need to normally see.
Like, our guys aren't traveling.
Correct.
Like, Riz and Sims and Aaron and Gary, Shannon, and whoever else is part of the broadcast, they're all at T-Mobile Park doing games. Correct?
Yeah, and that's been a larger conversation. I mean, look, the reality is the desperate need is just a little different when it's not the playoffs.
Right.
Last night was the first time that I can recall a big game in these playoffs in the NBA had the guys in the stands, and I'm telling you, it was absolutely freaking electric. And with the madness of that crowd and the way, I think it was Ian Eagle on the call, matched that excitement, and it was just bonkers. It was so great.
Kev,
oh, what
Kev,
a game.
When we went through last year with the bubble, we were the bubbles, I should say, all the bubbles that we had.
Yep.
We were so desperate for sports because we went for, what was it, basically, what, 2.5, 3 months without team sports? Is that
sound
about right?
Yeah, I mean, it was most of March, April,
baseball,
May.
Baseball didn't start until July 27th.
Yeah.
The NBA, and then, so it was almost like 3-4 months.
It was
a long time.
It was a long time.
We had a little golf kind of eased back into it without any fans. NASCAR was doing the same.
MLS came back a little bit earlier than the other ones.
The MLS is back was fun, except for the 6 a.m. Sounder game. That was way too early, but... But no, that was all fun. But we were so desperate for sports, we didn't care. Cardboard cutouts, whatever, it was just... We just wanted to see the competition. But our Pac-12 football season, I just rail on it all the time. It was such a bastardized version of what the sport should be.
The Pac-12 football jamboree.
The jamboree, and it was a jamboree. It was just awful. It was just awful. On every level. It wasn't even spring football practice. It was less than that in a lot of ways. And now we're seeing the importance of fans and why fans are great for sports. And it's been fun. So I mean, we'll talk later on as the week goes on. But, you know, I welcome it back. Everyone, it seems like around our state, we're seeing, you know, Gonzaga, you know, I know Mike Roth on his way out, the AD, said, yeah, we're expecting a full kennel next year. That to me was sad. I mean, love or hate Gonzaga, it's the best atmosphere for college basketball on the West Coast right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a close number two. Like, they're number one, and not just as a team, but they're the best atmosphere, period, on the West Coast for college basketball. And the fact that they didn't enjoy that team in person last year in Spokane was wrong. That was messed up. But it was necessary. I get it. We all understand why.
It sucked.
But it was sucked. It was bad. So Husky, Martin, Lumen, all those places, hopefully full, and Climate Pledge as well. Okay. Huge story today in college athletics. And Dennis Dodd's going to join us, right? CBS Sports?
Yep.
You talked to him today?
Yep.
He is going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got some audio we're going to play from Mark Few in a moment. And look, anybody who's listened to this radio show knows I'm not a huge fan of Mark Few.
You are a Fewy.
I am not a Fewy.
Oh,
okay. I'm not a big fan. I feel like he's the most condescending guy in the state. But, boy, he... Testifying before Congress today, he was a superstar. As great a coach as he was, at least in my opinion, because this is all opinion-based, I thought what he said and how he articulated his argument for athletes being compensated and the NIL laws, which are right now going to start in these following states. Think about this. Name, image, and likeness. Athletes can benefit off of name, image, and likeness starting on July 1st in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and New Mexico. So those five states, name, image, and likeness laws will begin on July 1st. Athletes can sign endorsement deals, sell autographs, own YouTube channels. They can be endorsers on Instagram, TikTok, social media, as well as what us old people would think would be traditional endorsements as well. Hey, it's Kevin Shockey, and I'm a left tackle for Alabama Crimson Tide, and you should come buy a car at Jimmy Joe's place down here. I don't think that, and I've come full circle on this whole topic, because for me initially, when I heard about this, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, my first thought was, the rich are going to get richer, the athletes for those big time programs with enormous boosters and support, those guys are going to get paid, and it's going to just kind of it's going to make the playing field even more uneven than it is right now. It's going to make college athletics, especially the Big Two in football and men's basketball, worse than it ever has been, and it's just going to really kind of suck the life out of it for the rest of the country if you're not one of those true blue bloods with that kind of fan base. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. I'm just wrong. I'm completely wrong in that archaic thinking. I mean, I'll admit that. It was a very naive, simplistic thought process that I had thinking about that. The next thought I thought was, well, this is going to be really hard because, you know, you're gonna see guys that it's really kind of a non-factor, it's a non-story, because unless guys are getting paid under the table, then really who's going to get paid, right? Who's going to get paid?
Mm-hmm.
Because not many, you know, the whole thought process all along that these athletes should be getting paid because of, quote, the income they bring into the organization. Name 10 players off of Alabama right now. Just quickly name 10 players off of Alabama right now.
On their current roster, can't do it. Not even close.
Thank you. LSU, Ohio State, you can't do it. The individual doesn't bring the reputation and doesn't bring the image of that program up. It's the program itself. It's what we talked about with Aaron Torres. We should probably get Aaron on again. The Jalen Suggs model is the best one to look at, compared to other players that ended up going to the G League or wherever else. Jalen Suggs already has big endorsement money coming in. Big money coming in. Before he even hit the shot, he had that ability because he became a superstar thanks to the Gonzaga brand. So that part of me is like, okay, you know, I'm probably wrong there too. Here's where the NIL comes into play. It's where kids and young people, no matter what they do, should be able to benefit off of their name, image, and likeness if indeed they have that ability to do so, if they become a marketable equity and marketable person. If you are, we joke about it here all the time, the influencer, right? Well, anybody who has Instagram or TikTok, especially those two right now, or a YouTube channel, hell, I just paid $50 to watch a YouTuber who's famous because he's on YouTube. Box, one of the greatest boxers of all time.
Uh-huh.
Floyd Mayweather. So if you have that ability and that wherewithal to make money off of who you can, you know, off of social media, hell yeah, you should benefit from that. I've never been a fan of more money for the athlete outside of bridging the cost of living. Like, you should get that cost of room, board. You should have enough money to live. You shouldn't be starving to death as a student athlete if you signed a division, a full scholarship. Remember, a full scholarship, because most athletes in Division I are not full scholarship athletes. Baseball isn't. Softball isn't. I think the only ones right now are football, volleyball, men's and women's basketball. I might be missing one, but that's about it. Everybody else is a partial scholarship. Baseball has 11 and a half scholarships for every Division I team for 30-odd players. They split it among those five, or 11 and a half people over 11 and a half over those 30 people. So remember that. But if you're a full scholarship athlete, you should be able to make ends meet. That and school and all that should be enough. But if you can make money on the side because of who you are from an outside third party, hell yeah, you should be able to do that. And just think about what I just said. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, those four plus New Mexico, random, are going to have a whole different set of playing rules than everybody else. By the way, let's go back through those teams again, those schools.
I'm trying to think if there's one general conference in that area of the country. Would you call those, is that a southeast area for the most part of the country?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is there like a southeast conference that would... Oh, yeah, the SEC.
So four states and six SEC teams is what I count, right? Mississippi, Mississippi State, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Auburn. And then obviously Florida also has
Florida State, Miami.
And ACC teams, has two ACC teams in it. Georgia has an ACC team in Georgia Tech. So there you go. So with all of that said, Mark Few today testifying before Congress in Washington, D.C. Take a listen to what he says.
We are at a critical juncture in college athletics. And it really isn't an exaggeration to say the future of college sports is in jeopardy. And so I want to talk about kind of NIL rights. We absolutely should have addressed these NIL rights a long time ago. And I'm embarrassed that we're here and having to deal with it right now. We should have handled this, but here it is. And these changes are long, long overdue. All athletes deserve to use their own name, image, and likeness in commercial endorsements and on social media. And I am very much in favor of them profiting as much as they possibly can from this. They should be able to run a camp using their own name, sign autographs for money, or profit off their popularity on Instagram or TikTok. And that absolutely needs to happen right now. We don't need an artificial cap on what a player's value is for NIL. We should rely on fair market value. But we do need some parameters to preserve the collegiate model and protect the recruiting environment. Without these parameters, the unintended consequences could be disastrous. And they could be disastrous, especially for the non-revenue sports outside of football and men's basketball. So my second point is, we need your help. At this point, this is not an issue the NCAA or individual states can fix. We can't run competitive fair championships if every state has a different rule. And state NIL law is going to affect in less than a month.
Really interesting stuff there from Mark Few. And I just put a Twitter poll up. As a fan of college athletics, what's your biggest concern or worry about the future of college football or college hoops? NIL laws or the transfer portal? Because those are kind of the two things. Look, college football playoff that's a fun sports debate. Like that doesn't change the landscape of college athletics. And I'm with this premise, I ask that question from this standpoint. Like on this show, on Softy and Fain, Puck and Slick, not as much the morning show, those guys, I mean, we all have different interests, but I think the three shows I just mentioned, we're all enormous college football fans. And enormous, when the timing is right, college basketball fans, especially if our teams are good. Like we love college athletics. And as a college fan, especially college football, but even college basketball, the NIL laws are always something I've kind of thought on the back burner, and they really don't affect me as a fan. The transfer portal does, because we're seeing that. I mean, do you see Luke McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother?
Okay.
He will be on, he's leaving Louisville, where he just transferred a couple months ago. He'll be on school number 3 in less than 2 years. Nebraska to Louisville to wherever, and the transfer portal it's crazy what it's doing. And to me, when I asked that last week to Nick Rolovich and the week before Kyle Smith and the week before to Nick Rolovich, I said, "How are you concerned about the transfer portal?" They weren't. They're like, "If guys want to be here, great. If not," but I hear from a lot of people that college coaches are freaking out about the transfer portal because they feel like every year after they recruit somebody, bring them in, that unless that player is 100% happy and thrilled with his playing time and his opportunities, and doesn't, you know, in some cases doesn't feel like he's got to work any harder, like he's, hey, I'm content with where I'm at, he's got to re-recruit that guy every year. Knowing full well, a lot of times you recruit guys and it's like, okay, you might sit for a year or two, and then you're going to play. Yeah. Now I've got to sit there and grovel and re-recruit, and look at we're fawning over JT Tuamalo, right, from Eastside Catholic. Like, fawning over this kid. Best player maybe in the country, still available. But look at all these coaches, how they're just bent. They've waited until June. The top programs in the country holding a spot for this kid. They work their ass off, coaches, due to recruit guys. If you have to re-recruit guys every year, that's a real hard thing to do. That, to me, has always been like the biggest concern as a fan is, man, we're excited. We got this guy in our program. He's a star. I can't wait to watch, you know, Max Borghese. I can't wait to watch him again this year. In the back of my mind, I'm like, is he going to transfer? Is he going to leave? But the NIL laws, if the rest of the country doesn't fall in line with those 5 states, and especially those 4 states, Mark Few's 100% correct. Your favorite team in our state is going to get screwed. And that could include Gonzaga, which has the best college recruiting class in the country, unless you want to go into Duke's recruiting class. But with Chet Holmgren, they're probably the best recruiting class in the country. Nolan Hickman. I mean, they're stacked. What happens if Nolan Hickman says, man, I got this great Instagram profile. I can go make $200,000 this year as an influencer if I'm playing in Georgia or Florida or Alabama? Well, pound sand, Spokane. Like, I'm on my way. I'm out. Like, that should be a concern to everybody. So I put that Twitter poll up. As a fan of college athletics, what's your biggest concern or worry about the future of college football or college hoops, NIL laws, or the transfer portal? You can vote at Ian Furness, SEA. I think it's a fascinating topic. It's one that I think is going to affect college sports, and Mark Few is right. If the rest of the country doesn't fall in line with everybody else, with those other states, the rich are going to get richer in the SEC and New Mexico.
Watch out for those Aggies.
And the rest of us are going to be left behind. We'll talk to Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, about it next.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Wild day in the world of college athletics, especially up on the old Capitol Hill. Maria Cantwell from our state, one of those leading the hearings today. Mark Few, you heard from him a moment ago, and we wanted to talk more about this. I put a Twitter poll up a minute ago. Just as a college sports fan here, Husky fans, Cougar fans here in our state, Gonzaga fans, what concerns you more, transfer portal or NIL and how the inequity of that could come into play? Well, a guy that knows all about this, wrote about it today, listening on everything this morning, our good friend Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Great story up right now, cbssports.com, on this entire topic that Dennis just put up a short time ago, about an hour ago. Dennis, how are you today?
Ian, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, thanks for popping on. You wrapped it up nicely in this package, but let's kind of take a step back because, as we mentioned in my first segment, we are just days away, a couple weeks away from five states, four of which are in the SEC, making things really interesting because if you're an athlete in those states, right, you can all of a sudden benefit off your name, image, and likeness, but the other 45 states are way behind. What will this and potentially could this do for college athletics?
Well, in the short term, it's going to be chaos. I mean, that's not me saying that. That's the participants, the administrators who don't know what to do right now, because you're going to have literally at midnight on July 1st, if there's no congressional intervention, there's probably not going to be in time, and if there's no NCAA legislation that's passed to in the interim, you're going to have athletes in those five states at midnight hitting the send key on contracts that will pay them $500,000. I mean, at the top end of the earnings scale, that's what it will be. Meanwhile, the athletes in the other 45 states have to adhere to NCAA rules and can't give anything beyond, you know, books, board, tuition, cost of attendance. So in that sense, you know, what gets people riled up the most? It's always about recruiting. Everything about college football, basketball, is either you trace it back to recruiting. And so they will have the epic recruiting advantage on July 1st, those schools.
Dennis, I find the most fascinating part about this, though, is that maybe I'm blindly naive about it. I think the people that could stand to benefit most may not be college football players, may not even be men's college basketball players. It could be athletes, female athletes specifically, in some of the non-revenue sports.
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. And right. I said that, and I think it was David Hale or someone at ESPN.com did a really good story on it, in that no one is thinking about this just from the fact that they're female, and that's half the population that can be marketed to in terms of role models, in terms of selling product. You know, there's a pair of twins that play basketball at Fresno State that already been estimated to be worth $500,000, and their social alone. I look at the schedule posters for some of these equestrian teams. That's a demographic. A lot of companies are looking for. You know, well, good looking, well read, country club sport. What kind of things could you do with that? So I think the female thing, the women's athlete, is going to turn a corner in this, and it's something a lot of people aren't even thinking about.
Because it's we always, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, joining us. I mean, I mentioned earlier, I was wrong. I kind of come full circle on this thing. I initially thought, well, I mean, all of a sudden this opens up the avenue for, you know, the rich to get richer in some of these college sports. Like you just said, who's marketable for a company that's trying to sell a clothing product or a line on Instagram or TikTok? It's not the left guard for Alabama, but it certainly might be the softball player from Alabama. right?
It might be the softball player in Alabama, something no one's thought about. There was a player with a walk-on receiver at Nebraska who would have been their highest paid player on social because he was dating an Instagram star. And no one thought of that. Remember Gronk's catch at Arizona where he set that record? Mm-hmm. Remember that in June before the spring game? It went viral. Anyway, it was a stage thing where Rob Gronkowski caught a ball from 660 feet, world record, sponsored by Arizona's social platform. Think if somebody staged that with an NCAA athlete, there's no telling what they could earn. And how do you do fair market value for some of that? And none of that's been addressed right now.
Dennis Dodd with us. By the way, the states we're talking about that on July 1st, athletes could be able to sign endorsement deals: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and New Mexico. One of these things is not like the other, by the way, Dennis.
Yeah, right.
You got four SEC/ACC states, and then New Mexico as well. We heard from Mark Few today. What are you hearing from other coaches across the country? Are they reaching a level of desperation?
The coaches?
Yeah.
The coaches, I think, in general, have just, submitted to one-time transfer and this stuff that it's just going to be. They don't like it. But there's no use, pouring over it. I think one thing they're going to have to get used to, and ADs as well, is the inevitable marketing agent sitting across the table for them complaining about playing time because they need more social. They need to get their social account better. And that's going to happen. I mean, it's just inevitable. Do coaches like the one-time transfer? No, but they're going to figure it out. And frankly, the man on the street doesn't give a damn. All they want... Is Michigan, Ohio State going to be sold out this year? Absolutely. Is Auburn, Alabama going to be sold out? Yeah. And I talked to Graham Mertz, the quarterback at Wisconsin, who's very savvy about all this stuff. I said, are you worried about having a bad game and you're the quarterback and you're getting paid more than anybody else? And he said, yeah, I am, but I can handle it. I'm a big boy. That's what comes with the scholarship. So he's figured it out. I don't know if others have.
What do you think about, you use it, I like this term in a sense, I mean, you use the term dark money. Do you think if NIL was available for every student athlete in all 50 states, that we would see less of that so-called dark money flowing under the table to athletes?
I think it would bring some above board, but in certain regions of the country, it's a bidding war, and it's under the table, and it's more than probably a lot of them can earn with NIL, so it doesn't make a difference. No, that will not go away. That under the table dark money where, to get the five star, a school pays his church, it can't be traced because it's a private organization. It's in cash. So there's no paper record. The latest is, and I love this, they give prospects, hey, go on, play video poker tonight and don't drop out because you know who's on with him? Boosters. So he wins all that money, not traceable. So there's no, the NCAA can't, there's nothing they can do about that. Unfortunately, they can do anything about that. That will continue. This is just above board stuff.
A couple more things to wrap up with Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. As you mentioned, Few has, the number one recruiting class in the country. Does that change if it doesn't go into effect? Is Mark Few and Gonzaga, would USC, would the teams, especially out west or the Big Ten, will they be seriously hampered in the next recruiting cycles by this?
No. I've said that from the beginning. Alabama will continue to get the best players in football. Toledo won't. Nothing about NIL is going to change that. If NIL made a difference that big, USC and Miami would be winning national championships. Because what do they have to offer? Look, they've got weather, they've got climate, they've got Fortune 500 companies, they've got glitz, they've got a media center. Well, they're not winning championships. This little western town in western Alabama is winning all the championships. Why? Because they're really good at football. Those other schools aren't good at football, or not as good as Alabama is in football. Nobody is. But no, I don't think it may. I think in 2 years we won't even be talking about this. This will be like cost of attendance. Remember that? People are losing their minds over the fact that Auburn players were going to get $100 more a month than Alabama players. Now it's just an accepted part of the game, and I think that's what NIL will be.
I would agree, and then some. And if you can get it on your own, good for you. And if you can't, then the harsh reality will come in, and you'll probably be Luke McCaffrey and transfer for a third time in 2 years. So
he's not the only one.
He isn't the only one. You're right. The column is desperation is setting in for the NCAA as Congress looks slow to move on name, image, and likeness. Dennis posted that about an hour ago, CBSSports.com. It is well worth your read. Husky, Cougar, Gonzaga fans here in our state. Great stuff, Dennis. Thanks for popping on. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Ian.
There you go. That's Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, joining us here. We'll take a break. We've got the Daily Power Play coming up next.
Want to listen to Seattle's best sports talk at home? Say, Alexa, play 950 KJR on iHeartRadio, powered by CenturyLink Fiber.
In front, Kundrup, score! McDavid.
This is the Daily Power Play.
It's Crosby atop the crease, and the Pens win.
Oh, my, they left Ovechkin wide open.
Brought to you by the Seattle Kraken. Check out the Kraken team stores in Seattle at Chandler's Cove and at Bellevue Square. Safely shop exclusive Kraken merch you can't get anywhere else.
And now we're going to have a goalie fight. This is the Battle of Alberta we've been waiting for.
Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Lines and right circle, need to shoot. Save man, rebound, loose it.
Oh, what a save.
Left point, Slavin shoots, block. The rebound is out of the zone. It's at center ice. Under 10 to go. Teravainen dumps it in. Time winds down. Palato on the far boards. Gives it to Slavin, and it's over.
Boy.
Another shutout for Andre Vasilevsky in a series-clenching victory. That's the Lightning have eliminated the Hurricanes. They win game 5-2-0. They win the series 4-1. And they are back to the Final Four.
Colorado controls. Nichushkin left to right. Dropped it off left side wall. Puck in front. A shot. Flurry. A save. The kick save and the rebound save. Pick it up by Pacioretty. Out for Stone. Here he comes. Working left side. He shoots. He scores! Mark Stone! He wins it in overtime! 3-2 Golden Knights! The captain delivers his fifth goal of the playoffs! The Golden Knights, game-winning goal-scoring leader in the regular season, wins it in OT!
It is our Daily Power Play. It's brought to you by the Seattle Kraken Team Store. If you visit SportsRadioKJR.com, enter the Daily Power Play, you have a chance to win a $50 weekly gift card from the Seattle Kraken Team Store. We announce it every Monday. We have the last two Mondays. Well, last week was Tuesday because we had a holiday, but basically every Monday we tell you who wins $50 for the Seattle Kraken Team Store. Check out the Kraken Team Stores in Seattle at Chandler's Cove and at Bellevue Square, second floor next to MAC Cosmetics. Safely shop exclusive Kraken merchandise you can't get anywhere else. Kevin, how simple is this contest again?
It's literally you go in, you use your login that you use for all the other contests, and you click a button. It's as simple as it gets on the website. You will have no problem. Drop on our contests, and it's the Power Play contest.
And unlike the uncertainty surrounding our state and its little lottery with the vaccine, you don't have to go to another website to find out if you're entered. You know that if you click that button, you're entered to win $50 at the Kraken Team Store.
You will know.
But much like that, with the vaccination lottery, you'll have someone call you. In this case, it's Kevin Shockey. It won't be a representative of the state of Washington or the Washington State Lottery. It'll be Kevin Shockey or Jenny Gudmundsen, or maybe it might be Sam, one of those three. They'll call you and say, hey, Kevin, you won $50 at Seattle Kraken Team Store.
It's good news. It won't be a
spam call.
No.
You know it's true.
Yeah. We might even use an email address.
How about that?
You might not even have to answer your phone.
Even better for people.
Life just got better.
You heard a couple highlights there. Andre Vasilevsky, third straight series, clinching shutout. The defending Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, knock off Carolina 2-0 last night. They win that series 4-1. There is a little bit of a theme or overriding storyline with Carolina being knocked out. We'll address that with Ryan S. Clark coming up at about 2:05, 2:10 this afternoon with our weekly visit with the Seattle Kraken beat writer for The Athletic. Could involve the future of the Kraken head coach. Touching on that. But Vasilevsky and Tampa, really, really good. The Islanders host the Bruins tonight. I'll get back to the other game in a second. Islanders host the Bruins tonight. That's the only game tonight. If the Islanders win, they will take on the Lightning in the one of the two semifinals. I want to say conference semifinals. There's no conference finals this year.
Just the
semifinals.
Stanley Cup semifinals.
Stanley Cup semifinals, because we know that the Montreal Canadiens have already advanced to take on the West Division winner. Islanders or Bruins will take on the Lightning in the other semifinal, that game tonight. Third straight series-clinching shutout for Andre Vasilevsky.
Man.
That's crazy, man. He is just playing. Now, if for some reason we ended up with a Tampa Bay-Montreal Stanley Cup final with those two goalies.
Six total goals.
Six total goals. And two of those will be empty netters.
Yeah, in the series, exactly.
1-0, 1-0, 2-0, 2-0, yeah. Anyway, that's that. Okay, last night also you heard the other highlight that came from what was an incredible game, Colorado and Vegas. Vegas trailed 2-0. They scored two goals, 3:04 apart, tied the game at 2, and then they go to overtime, and Mark Stone, off a block shot at the blue line, actually two block shots at the blue line, gets a semi-breakaway, scores 50 seconds into overtime. Vegas takes a 3-2 lead. They can clinch at home tomorrow. How about that?
I mean, it's the recent success of both of those franchises is pretty freaking incredible between Tampa and Vegas.
Marc-Andre Fleury, by the way, his 88th postseason win, fourth place, tied for fourth place on the all-time wins list.
Any good names ahead of him, Ian?
Well, first of all, you have to ask me the question, do goaltender wins matter?
Ian, do goaltender wins matter?
I think more so than pitcher wins matter or quarterback wins matter.
I would say,
if we're ranking quarterback wins, pitcher wins, or goaltender wins,
I'm going to say quarterback wins are the least relevant.
I would agree. So what about pitcher wins?
They're close to the quarterback wins, but not as close as... So it's like one, I guess, would be the goalie wins. And then we'll talk like, a couple miles is 2 and 2A are going to be pitcher wins and quarterback wins.
Patrick Waugh, I like to call him Roy. Patty Roy, 151. Might be a hard record to ever reach. Marty Brodeur, 113. Grant Fuhr, 92. Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame.
All right, pretty good.
All ahead of Marc-Andre Fleury with 88. And Marc-Andre Fleury, by the way, gave up one of the worst goals ever last night at the end of the first period. 1-0 was the lead at the end with 0.8 seconds left. Kind of flailed on a shot that went by him from about 40 feet out. Yeah.
So, Ian, are you prepared?
It would be an E1 if we were scoring at home in baseball there.
How long will it take for us on KJR to say, you can't score if you don't put the puck on the net?
Game one, we'll say that.
Game one?
Yeah.
Good to put the puck on the net.
Well, it's the Gretzky line, right?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take?
That's it.
From Michael Gretzky? From Wayne Gretzky, from Michael Scott?
Yes. All right. Do we have time for it? Do you have anything good?
We really don't. We got to make sure we're on time here. Okay. I'm sorry. Something good. It's sunny outside.
I got something good for you. We'll tease what we're doing tomorrow. We'll do that top of the hour. Then we'll hear from Ryan S. Clark coming up.